Today, I am ecstatic to have with us Winston Chang, CTO for Snowflake. Winston, welcome.
Thanks, George. Great to be here.
You know, Winston, it's always wonderful to highlight global leaders and luminaries like yourself. I've known you for quite some time, and I know that you've impacted, are impacting, and will impact so many millions of people with your leadership and your vision, which is sort of like foresight in the arena of cloud, et cetera, especially now in your role at Snowflake. And so could you kindly introduce yourself to the millions of folks that will be watching this interview across the planet and tell us a little bit about your work, your leadership, and your vision at Snowflake?
Well, I appreciate being here and having the opportunity to just tell you all about what we're doing and what we're seeing across the industry. My job here is the global public sector CTO. So I'm responsible for anything government or education related. And we are really just trying to enhance the industries and the categories that we're working in and help them really leverage the data that they have, especially with public sector, given how valuable their data is. And, you know, coming from a background of cloud and sort of data science, I just love this space and really want to see the mission accomplished across our sector.
Fantastic. And I'd like to ask you a question about cloud. How, Winston, do you see cloud? Because I know you know cloud. How do you see cloud revolutionizing public sector?
Yes. Well, you know, I know your audience is cross-sector, and we're seeing this across all sectors, is the evolution of the data cloud. And so when we think about data cloud, we're really thinking just the cloud's ability to connect data across systems, right? Normally you have a full stack system, you got your data in a silo. The data cloud allows that connection to happen. And it happens at multiple levels, you know, within your actual company or your organization, within your organization's partners, and then at a global scale with all the data out there. And, you know, the real interesting thing is the when you map this effect, and we can see it here as the platform, you know, for our data cloud, we see these, we see a network effect taking place. The actual mapping of this from a social system looks exactly like you would see if you were to map, say, the beginning of Facebook or the beginning of LinkedIn. And I think that's the true power of the data cloud, is the network effect of being able to say, how do we connect all of these pieces of data from around the world and get that huge bang for the buck that comes when you can combine and collaborate?
You know, and that's it. It's combine and collaborate. I think that what you've just described is that revolution of cloud and the impact it's had. We've seen an acceleration. I'd like to ask you your perspective on this, which is, you know, in 2020, Winston, we were looking at a 10-year span to achieve the global goals of the UN. We were in January. By March of that year, for the first time in human history, perhaps the entire planet experienced the same exact thing, which was a shutdown, a lockdown, you know, all the things that happened. And here we are several years later, perhaps in some ways post-pandemic, although still we're seeing effects of it. And there's been an incredible acceleration in technology, cloud, et cetera. How have you seen that component when, in terms of when you say revolutionize and your belief in that, how does that tie into that?
So, George, I think you're spot on with collaboration being such a critical key component, whether you're thinking geopolitically, whether you're thinking within a government, whether you're thinking within an industry. We've seen it in manufacturing, up and down the supply chain. You know, we've seen it in marketing, between different marketing groups and how they want to collaborate. I think the key is that we've seen technological changes that have happened on the cloud. As you know, we've had the cloud for a while, but the software in order to enable all those connections is now there, right? So a handful of things like the affordability of compute, the security, because if you really think about the data, especially data that has potentially privacy thoughts and concerns around it, the security parameters around that data and the way it's shared has to be so robust for people to be willing and the risk aversion to be lowered greatly. And so those are the things that you see. And I think really, obviously, I'm a bit partial to Snowflake, but for the reason why I came here is because I was seeing it and implementing it using the technology, and that's what drew me to this company. But our data sharing, our security, the ability to copy our data without actually copying it, it's you can essentially share without copying, which is a huge resource constraint if you think of all the copies floating around and a security constraint. So all of these fundamental technological features are now available to groups like the UN, and those allow for the basis of collaboration to happen. So now the processes and the culture can adapt, knowing that it has an underlying secure foundation for sharing data across the technology.
And Winston, you know, you mentioned this, and I appreciate it. We do. We believe in cross-sector collaboration, and we believe in the power of that collaboration to help achieve those 17 global goals of the United Nations as we march toward 2030. What do you see as the impact, the outcome of partnerships specifically? And then taking it a step further, we talked about the cross-sector piece. Why is that cross-sector piece within the context of developing partnerships so vitally important?
Well, I think you see a lot of impact in, just take, you know, Ukraine for an example. The ability for so many different nations to come support Ukraine at a data level, right? To be able to look at intelligence and bring it together, coalesce it, and share among allies in order to support, you know, a set of people's freedoms. But I would also, warn or maybe give a heads up to especially the public sector, the global public sector, to be thinking about how this technology actually changes the way you have to operate. And the reason why I flagged that is because we always talked about data as the new oil, and we treat data as an asset like it should be treated. However, governments have a stewardship around that asset. So you think of the value of a data asset, like what Commerce will do or what USAID does in the United States. That data is extremely valuable, especially when combined in collaboration with private sector or you know, any other sort of nonprofits. However, that stewardship, because of the ease of sharing data now exists, has now changed. And I'll give you some examples here. So let's say we talk about Alaska. In the United States, Alaska has access to a resource called oil, right, which we all know is incredibly valuable, and it is responsible and pays back the dividends that come from that oil to its citizens. Or another example would be, you know, our pensions benefit group, PBGC, yes, which invests and supports all the pension benefits as a, you know, a backup insurance group. However, it has to invest its assets. Similarly, data is an asset. And there are many organizations around the world which now needs to look at its nation's data, especially when you look at the way the European landscape and data is actually starting to map out. You're going to have very country-specific data centers where the data is not allowed to leave the country. However, that data is extremely valuable. So what is the responsibility as the data steward now for that country? Those are the sort of things that we need to think about and what that actually means and potentially how to make money off of that and what does that money go to?
That's exactly right. And so, you know, we're watching this acceleration. We're watching all of the things. I love the example of Ukraine. We've seen technology and the impact of technology on that whole global situation in Ukraine. And now we see just more broadly public sector. So I'm hearing that you're seeing movement, you're seeing acceleration. So you're bullish on the acceleration perhaps of cloud technology, maybe efficiency in public sector. Would you say it's unanimously spread across the planet, or is it, and I think I know the answer to this, country specific? Are you seeing specific parts of the world moving faster than others? I mean, what is, I'm just curious.
We are certainly seeing a huge movement in the commercial sector. And of course, that's not a surprise, right? They can take a lot of value from being able to partner and collaborate, especially around data. In terms of the public sector, this is a little slower. The adoption is arguably supposed to be slower because there's a larger vetting process, there's more security process, it's a regulated market. But there are other regulated markets which have quickly adopted Snowflake, and we've seen this, financial sector is a perfect example. So alone with our own data cloud network, we've seen the incredible parabolic growth of data sharing and collaboration. And we can graph it and we can see it. And I wouldn't be surprised if you Google it, you'll actually find some of our graphics out there on how it's changed from this 2020 to 2022. So I fully expect and am fully bullish on the ability for governments and public sector all over the world to be able to leverage this technology. It's very easy and very open and available. So I think, I mean, that's why I'm here. So I'm definitely bullish.
Well, I'd love to ask you a follow-up to that, Winston, as well, which is, you're bullish for sure. And I think the whole world is we're watching, again, this acceleration, the impact, the change, the hybrid workplace, you know, all of the elements that are now possible that maybe just a few years ago were not, and maybe not even weren't possible, but weren't acceptable on some level. They weren't the norm. Now, employees, companies, both, I think, are converging on more of a hybrid work, work-life balance, all of the things that we're talking about. And so as we look at this element of, like you said, and I love this word, parabolic. It's parabolic what's happening. How do you see the impact also of AI as a wraparound to all of this? I mean, it's exciting enough when you're watching all of the different AI platforms that are coming out. I mean, it's just, it's mind-blowing. No other way to really say it other than mind-blowing to see, to your point, parabolic growth built on cloud platforms to help small companies, big companies, public sector accelerate, right? The U.S. government workforce is largely remote on some level. That was not even a thought a few years ago. I mean, there was a little bit of remote work taking place, but you see that that just transformation. What is it? What is that impact of AI? And I know it's a very broad term and with broad implications, but what are you seeing on that front?
So I love the question. And as someone who's built, you know, machine learning and AI models, I absolutely love it. I've been playing with ChatGPT for a while now and just trying to suss out what its limitations are. So I think if we take it back, and you pointed out very correctly, the silver lining with remote work that came from the COVID crisis, any change really has to do with sort of three pillars. It's the technology, the processes, and the people being the culture. And there's a forcing function which really forced the culture to change, because the technology for remote work has sort of always been around, right? But the processes hasn't been there. And there was that forcing function that did that. similarly, what you see today, and I think with that AI wrappers, AI can attack quite a few things, right? It can attack the technology, it can attack the processes in a lot of ways. And but the culture is the big question. And the question is how well do we adopt it as people and as humans? And that comes into sort of the ethics of AI, which go into there, and also just the pure process and how that affects people. You know, new jobs being created, but at the same time on the downside, jobs being removed because AI can now automate so many things. So I think overall I am bullish, but it is constrained in the sense of there are a lot of things with how AI will come into our change and our evolution as, you know, as a large human organization across this world, as a social organization, that will have to be explored and really well thought out and designed for the best of humanity.
Well, Winston, I think that is just incredible insight. You've always had the ability to see around corners. You have the ability to see 360. And my gosh, as we're looking at all of this change, what do you see as that next level? What is on the horizon? What is just around the corner that maybe our global audience, the millions of people that are watching this, will say, wow, that's interesting. And gosh, thank you for letting me know.
So there are a lot of really incredible technologies that I'm just keeping an eye on. Obviously, quantum is one of them. And in some ways, I do think quantum's a little overhyped. And in other ways, I think we haven't even begun to explore what it's possible with quantum. And so, you know, I can tell you, I tried to teach myself quantum computing, actual coding, and it is probably one of the harder ones to learn. I will definitely throw that out there. I ran into a lot of brick walls myself. And then the other thing that I think is really interesting is actually synthetic biology. And when you combine that with our easier computes, with our AI models, right, for being able to predict protein folds, being able to predict DNA sequencing, and then the stuff that we're doing with data sharing. Like if you just think of having all those data elements available and democratized to the world, like databases of genetic code, those types of things, those catalogs will just open up human ingenuity. And I mean, it can go so many different directions. But if I were to say two big technologies that I'm kind of watching are those two.
Phenomenal. And just beyond phenomenal, inspiring on so many different levels. And we're looking at, you know, there's a lot of nomenclature out there surrounding sustainability, right? There's a word of the week in a sense. It's this or that, it's ESG. But in the end, it's about, you know, business in particular, doing good to do better. And you can do that, and I believe you can do that. So doing good to do better for the company, to do more good. Isn't that a nice, it's a nice cycle, and it makes a lot of sense. How do you see all of this technology impacting sustainability?
This is, yeah, probably a wonderful note to end on. We are having a ton of sustainability discussions because underlying all of this technology is a form of compute, right? There's nothing around physics. It comes back to some data center, and being able to think of all these great things that can happen in the future still comes down to fundamental physics, and we're going to have to deal with the sustainability of that. So there's a big movement within Snowflake itself and to bring us into those sustainable futures and renewable energies and all of those sorts of things. So I think it's very valuable. I think it's critical. You know, we are not just here as a social group on the planet, but we are here in an ecosystem. I talk about data ecosystems all the time, but I would also stress the ecosystem of living on this planet with all the other living, you know, creatures here. So absolutely love it. We need to pay attention to it. And Snowflake is definitely moving out in that direction.
Winston Chang, CTO, Snowflake. What is your call to action for our global audience? And perhaps most importantly, how can folks find out more about your work?
I would say, look at the basics. There are so many flashy technologies out there, and don't get me wrong, I love them. But the basic building blocks like data and how you put your data, the architecture, security, those basics are what moves the needle. So, you know, if you want to be collaborative, look at how you do that with data. And so that's what I would say. That's what I'd leave everyone with. And best of luck. You can always reach me. You know, I'm here at Snowflake. I'm sure you can post my email. And we are very ready to help the world grow and build out that data cloud.
Winston Chang, CTO, Snowflake, leader, luminary, visionary. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, Jordan. Great to be here.
My pleasure.